द थर्ड वर्स अश्रद्धधानाः पुरुषाः धर्मस्यास्य परन्तपा अप्राप्य माम् निवर्तन्ते मृत्युसंसारवर्त्मनि. अश्रद्धधाना अश्रद्धा श्रद्धा मीन्स् फेथ् अश्रद्धा मीन्स् वन् हू डज़् नाट् हेव् फेथ् एण्ड् विल् एक्स्प्लेन् अबौट् वाट् इस् फेथ् एण्ड् पुरुषा मीन्स् द पीपल् सो द पीपल् हू डू नाट् हेव् फेथ् इन् वाट् अस्य धर्मस्य आफ् दिस् नालेज् आफ् दिस् टीचिङ्ग् वन् पीपल् हू डू नाट् हेव् फेथ् अस्य मीन्स् दिस् नालेज् धर्मस्य दिस् टीचिङ्ग् परन्तप ही इस् कालिङ्ग् अर्जुन एस् परन्तप अर्जुन वास् अ ग्रेट् वारियर् who had destroyed many enemies, and he says, you are a great warrior, but now the battle is in against your mind, because your mind at this moment is deluded, and you have to overcome your delusion. So you have won many great battles, but now there is an internal battle. You have to fight your inner battle, and I'm sure you will be victorious because you are a great warrior. So he's encouraging him. And then he says, this person who do not have this faith and this knowledge, Aprapya maam nivartante. Aprapya maam. The Lord says, not reaching me. Aprapya. Prapya means to get. Aprapya means not to get. So one who does not get me, get the Lord, does not reach the Lord, does not become one with the Lord. Nivartante. These people come back again and again, again and again. That's why they say that when you reach that state of realization, you become one with Him, then you do not need to take birth again because you have already achieve the purpose of human birth. But those who do not reach me and those who keep on just doing things in the world, wanting this, acquiring this, what happens to them? They come back where? Mrityu samsara vartmani. Vartmani means the path of mrityu samsara, this world of death. And this world is basically, you know, a world of death. You might say, well, we are living, but you know, nobody is going to live forever. Death is destined. And not only death is not only the final time when you leave the world, but we are constantly going through birth and death. Like I was a child and the childhood died and then became a youth and then you become a middle age and then you become old. So the childhood dies to become the youth. Youth dies. Like now today is Sunday. Sunday, today after the football games and all and the day is over, then Sunday will die and Monday will be born. So I'm going through changes, you know, the day dies and become night and the night dies to become day and then the Monday die will die to become Tuesday. 2010 died and now we are in 2011. So we are constantly going through this world of change. My body is changing. You know, I was different a while back and a few years back. My emotions are changing, you know, sometimes happy, sometimes sorrowful. Happy emotions arise and then they die and sorrowful die arise and then my ideas and my concepts change. So we are in this world of change. And again you have to go through this until you realize the ultimate truth. So he says, one who reaches me, the Lord says, does not come back to this world. So to talk about Shraddha, what is faith? This is a chart. But faith, they say, is one is called blind faith, where I just blindly believe what the teacher said or what the scriptures, I don't even think. And that can lead to, you know, people getting misled and, you know, people becoming fanatic. And then we have some of these, you know, some of these fanatic teachers who take their students on fanatic paths to do all fanatic things. And that comes from blind faith, from not understanding. But when they talk about Shraddha, they talk about faith with understanding. Having understood, then you apply that knowledge and that is called Shraddha, and that is called faith. So faith has to be coupled with understanding. I have to have the right knowledge, and that's why having a right teacher is very important who will give me the right knowledge. And what are the things I have to have faith in? One is, of course, faith in God. And we say, God, I believe in God. You ask anybody, do you believe? Of course I believe in God. There is God somewhere. But who is this God? What does he do? Where does he live? What is his, you know, what is the purpose of him creating the world? Why did he put me here? What is my goal in life? What is my purpose? For that, to understand God, you need the scriptures and you need a teacher. Because even the scriptures alone cannot be enough. You people can say, I don't need to come to lectures. I can stay at home and read the book. But then it's like somebody saying, I don't need to have a golf teacher. You know, I can stay at home, watch a video, and then go out and play golf. It's not going to work. If you have just watched a video, golf video, and then you try to hit the ball, it will go in 100 different directions. So you need a coach who will tell you how to hit the ball and which direction, how to position your shoulder, and he will show you where you are making mistakes and where you are going wrong and your stance is not good and your all those, what kind of club you should buy. So the teacher and the scriptures tell us, and especially the teacher is very important, because when I have questions, when I have doubts, then I can ask the teacher. Like, you know, we find here also after, you know, everybody has some questions, some doubts. So it is very important to have a living teacher. And I personally have benefited so much from meeting with the teachers of Chinmaya Mission. Whatever little I know, it is because of what I owe to them. So one should always ask questions. When you meet a wise person, when the Swamijis come, you know, meet with them, ask them questions, and read the scriptures with faith that these, the teacher and the scriptures, will tell me about God and tell me about myself. And the last one is, I have to have faith in myself that I am capable of reaching. People think, you know, I am a great sinner. And with Swami Chinmayananda, people used to say, Swamiji, you are too late. He says, why are you too late? You should have come to my life 20 years ago. You should have come to me 20 years ago. So why? 20 years ago, I was such a good person. Now I am a sinner. You know, I am so corrupt and I am so dishonest and I have done so much wrong. But remember that the Lord is available for everybody. You know, even in the Gita, he says, Api chet su durachara bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhu reva samantavya samyak vyavasito hi saha. He says, even the person who is the greatest sinner, if he remembers me, Vajate mam ananya bhak, with total love, sadhu revasa mantavya. I consider him like a sadhu. I consider him a saint. So nobody is condemned forever. Nobody is eternal sinner. We are all essentially divine. We all have this divine spark in us, this divine consciousness. So every one of us is capable of becoming a Jesus, becoming a Buddha, becoming a Shankaracharya, becoming a Swami Chinmayananda. We all have the potential, but it has not been tapped. So have faith in yourself. Remember that you are a child of that Divine Father. And definitely we are all, if others could do it, I also can do it. So that confidence, when you have, then your knowledge is good. So he says, so those people who do not have faith in me, do not have faith in these teachings, and they just doubt. You know, there are some people who are always suspicious, always very questioning, always very doubtful. So he says, those who do not have faith in this knowledge that I am giving you and do not study it with love and devotion. Again, he's not saying do it blindly. Just because I said it, you do it. No, he says, throughout the Bhagavad Gita, the teacher's method of teaching is very, very unique. But what he says, there is no commandment. Nowhere he says, do this and do not do this. If you do this, you will go to nothing like that. He says, this is your choice. You can do this or you can do this. If you do this, this is what will happen. If you don't do this, this is what will happen. The choice is yours. Throughout the Bhagavad Gita, he has given us the choice. That, in fact, constantly he's showing two paths, the path of this and the path of that. And the choice is yours. Even at the end of the 18th chapter, his last instruction is that I have given you this knowledge in 700 verses. Now do as you wish. Yat echasi tat guru. The Krishna says very clearly, I have given you this knowledge. Now the choice is yours. You choose whether you want to follow this. If you follow, yes, these are the benefits. If you don't follow, these are the things will happen. So that is what he says, that the choice I have given you, this knowledge has been given to you. The choice is yours. You can choose. And why should you choose this path of self-realization? Because if you do not choose the path, then what will happen? Aprapya mam nivartante. Not reaching me, not knowing me, not becoming one with me, you will again and again come to this path of suffering and burden. And it is true, as long as you get attached to the body, you say, I am the body, then you will continuously suffer because the body is bound to deteriorate. One day it is healthy, second day it's unhealthy, one day things are going fine, second day are not. At the mental level, you get attached to your emotions. Then again, you know, one day somebody loves me, somebody does not love me. Intellectually, I have success, I have failure. And we are constantly struggling, you know, physically to make my body healthy, and then my mind should be happy, and then I should be successful. Yeah, you keep doing that, but all do it with that understanding that I am that consciousness. These are my instruments to take care of. And even if the body is healthy or unhealthy, even if my mind is happy, unhappy, even if I'm successful or unsuccessful, I as the consciousness am perfect. I am good. We're not saying that you should not exert or you should not work hard. You do your best, but with that understanding that ultimately in this world of imperfection, I'm looking for perfection. The only perfect thing is the Lord. And that is the only thing perfect. And once you understand that, then you can work in the world without getting disturbed by the sorrows and by the problems. So what the teacher is doing is he's telling the student that what is the benefit of this knowledge in the first two verses. And in the third verse, he says, for people who do not follow this knowledge, what is the loss? What is the problem? And now the next week actually is the, in my opinion, the some of the hardest verses in the Bhagavad Gita. The next week, the next two verses are very difficult, and I'll try my best to explain it. And Swami Chinmayananda has given us a good commentary. So please read those verses because they really require a lot of explanation. The fourth and the fifth verse, where he talks about I am in them and they are not in me and all, it's very complicated. But please read it, and we'll do that next week. We have a minute. Anybody has one or two quick questions? Yes. Yes, actually, God has created everything. God himself became the whole thing. See, every cell is nothing but the Lord himself. See, God alone was, right, first. And then God became this universe. He created the universe out of himself. It's not that there was air, space, fire, water, earth lying around for him to use. There was only the consciousness alone. So out of that consciousness emerged space, air, fire, water, earth. So the lower and the higher is actually nothing but him and him alone. But the lower nature is the prakriti, is the matter, is the changing, his changing nature. And then there is an immutable higher nature. God has an eightfold form. Eightfold. And that is air, space, fire, water, earth, mind, intellect, and the individual. So those eight are also God alone, but they are his lower nature. So prakriti is his lower nature, and purusha, or the consciousness, is his higher nature. So I am a combination of consciousness and matter. See, body, mind, and intellect are matter. So they are my lower nature. And I am actually that consciousness. So that is the understanding. So God alone is everything. And that's why they say love everybody, because everybody is his manifestation. And that's why you should also love yourself, not love yourself in the sense of pampering yourself, but love myself as the divine, as I am a divine creature. And people sometimes put themselves down and criticize themselves. Yeah, you can improve, but you have to love yourself. Because I am Jesus, I am Krishna, I am that consciousness. No, that's not prakriti. No, those are the vasanas. Prakriti is matter. Prakriti is the power of the Lord that creates the matter. So there is purush and prakriti. So consciousness and matter, energy and matter, like the gasoline and the car. You know, the gasoline is the energy and the car is the matter. So that is purusha and that is prakriti. So you can say the car's higher nature is gasoline and lower nature is the steel and the tires and all that. Where different combinations make all the entire universe, including the mind and intellect, they are also matter. Mind and intellect, we think of them as being something, but they are also matter. They are also inert. They don't have a life of their own. It is only consciousness that gives them life. But they are of subtle matter. They are not matter. Like air is subtle. I cannot see it. You know, space is subtle. But my, you know, the air, fire, and I mean the fire, water, and earth, we can see. So from gross to subtle, yes. Yes. Yeah, one is understand, but the second is to experience it. So understanding is good. If you have read the Bhagavad Gita or the, you know, the scriptures, you have understood it. But then once you apply that in your life and experience that, that I am that consciousness, which can happen through prayer, meditation, through service, through, you know, constant remembrance of the Lord and all. Yes. So that is called realization. That is what masters like Buddha and Jesus and Eckhart Tolle and Shankaracharya and all have. Yes. Self-realization, God-realization, you know, they are one and the same. It's not different. It's not that God is somewhere else and I realize him, but God is in me and I understand that. And self-realization is not a state to reach or somewhere to become. It is to wake up. Just as from sleep I wake up and we are awake, at least most of you should be awake. In fact, I heard somebody saying that, you know, that they said that I had trouble falling asleep. So she said, yeah, you had trouble falling asleep. What do you do now? He says, the best way to fall asleep is go to Dr. Mehta's class in the Chinmaya Mission. So from sleep, you wake up to the waking state and you are here and functioning. So in that state of realization, you wake up to that highest state that I am that consciousness. So it is just a shift of attention. It is not any, it's not that suddenly you'll have a halo around your head. You know, like sometimes they show these saints and these prophets with a halo around their neck and showing that they are very brilliant. It's not that. The person will still remain the same, but his knowledge will change. I think that is their own karmas because they have been smoking or whatever. So everything comes into it. You know, man is born with certain tendencies and certain karmas from previous birth. And then human is the only organism that is given free will, free choice, to choose how am I going to live my life. A cat or a dog or a lion or a tiger is not given free will. They are live by instinct. But man has been given. So I have the capability of changing my destiny by right actions. That's why even if you have done a lot of bad actions, but if you do a lot of good actions in this lifetime, you remember the Lord, you pray, then the effect of the previous karmas gets modified, gets weakened. So we have the capability of changing our destiny to some extent. You cannot radically change. If I was destined to suffer some illness, I will suffer it. But if I have done a lot of good actions and constantly remember the Lord, A, I get strength to bear that, and B, that same karma gets modified where even though I'm suffering some misery, but the Lord will send somebody who will help me. So I have free will. So it's not everything. I'm not just a robot that has been created and thrown here and I have to live my life. What I am today is because of my past actions, and my future will be determined by my present actions. So I do have an ability. So here, in that case, even though you had certain life, you know, you shortened it by doing wrong kinds of activities, I think. One should choose one particular path of spiritual learning. They are all good. Buddhism is good, Taoism is good, Shintoism is good, German philosophy is good. You know, and there are all so many philosophies on this world, Confucius, and then there is this and that, and, you know, it's all these great thinkers. And all of them are very good. But if you continuously change your path, that one day I'm reading Hindu philosophy, then Buddhism, then Taoism, then some rare, you know, people come with some rare thinkers and rare philosophers of, you know, Huxley and all. I mean, it is good to have wide knowledge, but if you are continuously changing your focus, it's like changing your major. You know, our kids, we always tell them, they go to college and one day they do, you know, they want to do medicine. Then after 6 months, they get tired. They don't want to do biology. They want to do math. And then they want to do psych. And we say, look, you know, you cannot keep changing your major every year. You'll never graduate. You know, we always tell our children, you know, decide what you want and focus. So similarly, you can look at the various paths to to reach God and then pick the one that suits me the best, that seems to fit with what my thinking is. And then once you have chosen that, again, I'm not saying become fanatical, but then go deep into it. Understand it thoroughly, understand it completely. And that can only come by repeated listening. Because having listened to this, like, you know, not that I know that much, but I have been, you know, attending these lectures from all these Swamijis of the Chinmaya Mission since the 90s. Actually, even before that, when I was a teenager, my mother used to take me to Swami Chinmayananda's lectures. I had the good fortune of listening. I don't remember too much, but I think that's why these sanskaras, where you teach your children, you know, bring them to these classes and all, helps, because it puts the seed in their mind that this is something important. And so once having input that seed, and once I have understood that Vedanta or this knowledge is important to me, then I go deep into it by repeated listening, by repeated reading. And if something is not clear, there is no harm in picking up the seventh chapter and reading it again. Because in fact, as many times as I have studied the Gita, again, I'm not a scholar like most of these Swamijis. Every time I read it, it looks to me new. You know, Swami Chinmayananda's commentary, every time it's like, oh my God, you know, you always get something new out of it. So it is by repeated listening to these Mahatmas and by repeated reading that the knowledge becomes firm. It's like the Grand Canyon. You know, it started out as a simple river, you know, the Colorado River. And after 100 or many billion years, by repeated, it's become a deep groove now. It's going deeper and deeper. So this knowledge in the beginning will just, like you said, you won't remember it. But as you study it more, it becomes deep groove. And even though you may not remember every verse of the seventh chapter or the details, but the message of the seventh chapter will stay. Like if I ask you, what was the color of your mathematics book in the fourth grade? You're not going to remember that. But you remember that in the fourth grade, or from between second to third and fourth grade, I learned addition, subtraction, and the knowledge is still with me. So, and then repeatedly applying that knowledge makes it pakka, makes it permanent. So it is good to read again and again and listen again. And in fact, the entire Bhagavad Gita, the same ideas are repeated many times in different chapters with different methods and different language. And when you listen to different teachers, what I have found that when these Swamijis come here to the Chinmaya Mission to give talks, when you listen to them, they give you the same knowledge, but they give it with a different perspective and a different outlook. And they have different examples, different stories, different jokes. And sometimes the story or the joke or the example sticks in your mind and makes the knowledge more firm. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.